I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
You know, Tani really is the greatest show on earth right now. It's Chris Carlin in for Alan Hahn, along with Bart Scott. Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. That is where we are headed right now to welcome in Matt Viskersian, of course, the voice of Sunday Night Baseball on ESPN, and he is also the voice of the Anaheim Angels as well.
Stock a rising.
Yeah. Well, Matt, this has been unbelievable to watch, but what has it been like to watch Ohtani so far, so up close and personal as you have been?
Yeah. Hey, Chris and Bart. I'm running out of superlatives. You know, I mean, I think I'm 53 years old, and I could list the number of players in baseball on one hand for whom I've literally kind of edged up in my seat every time they step in a game. And Ohtani's on that list now. I mean, what he's done in this series alone, in just two games at the stadium with three homers against three different pitchers, against three different pitches, the Yankees have experienced in 2 days what the rest of the league is experiencing, and that is that when you think you know where to go to get him out, he makes the adjustment and you can't get him out there anymore. And not only can you not get him out there anymore, he's going to homer there. So for such a long time to begin the season, opponents were kind of game planning him with soft stuff away, changeups, breaking balls away. Well, in this series, he's hit in this order a curveball, a changeup, and a fastball for homers in different pitch locations. He's on a pace to hit 56 with over 100 extra base hits. And the last time the league saw a 100 extra base hit total was 2001. And the discussion back then in that group of players was PEDs. That's how good this guy is. He's doing it when it's not being done anymore. And, oh, and by the way, he's pitching tonight. So there's that.
And that's the crazy part, Matt, that you make that statement, because you can make the argument that you have two of the best baseball players on the same team, right? So how important is it for the rest of us to see him on the East Coast time zone to kind of get a glance of what we've been hearing about? Because he's like the Loch Ness Monster, right? We hear all these crazy things about him, but we never see him because I can't stay up that long. You know what I mean? My bedtime is 10 o'clock. And, like, how crazy is it what he's doing? And is he arguably pushing Trout for the best player in baseball?
Yeah, he is, Bart. I mean, that's all spot on. I like that Loch Ness Monster thing. I'm going to steal that and use that on the air. But it's true. I mean, look, when you think about the time zones, that's a great point, because the time zone is what I think landed him in L.A. with the Angels. That, because he wanted to be a little bit closer on the globe to Japan. And one guy, Billy Epler, who, you know, was an advisor to Brian Cashman for a long time with the Yankees. And Billy had been on Ohtani for years, developed not only a familiarity but a relationship with him. So when Billy was hired as the GM of the Angels a number of years ago, the Angels landed him. I mean, it was that personal touch that did it, because let's face it, there were sexier places for Ohtani to sign. The Cubs, the Mets, the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Dodgers. But the Angels landed him and surprised everybody, because at the time it looked like the Twins and the Mariners were the front runners. But when you consider all that and then consider the fact that this dude is making $3 million this year, which for you and I is a ton of money, but in pro sports, it's a bargain. He's the best pitcher in the American League, arguably. He's the scariest hitter in the American League, arguably. And he signed at a relatively low-cost deal that if he had waited and come out 3 years later, 2 years later, he could have signed as a true international free agent to the highest bidder. He literally cost himself about $200 million. But he wanted to get here so badly and compete at this level. He was like, you know what? The money will be there. I'm going. I don't care. And everybody is better for it.
Matt Vasgersian, the voice of Sunday Night Baseball on ESPN, and of course the LA Angels as well, joining us via the Goodyear Hotline, Chris Garland, Bart Scott. And Matt, personality-wise, we had heard early that maybe he didn't want that bigger stage that you alluded to. What is Shohei Ohtani like from a personality standpoint?
Yeah, I believe that now, actually, Chris, because I wasn't sure about that at first. I mean, what young pro athlete at the top of his craft wouldn't want the kind of attention, adulation, extra source of revenue that comes with New York or L.A.? But he is a little different. And when I say L.A., I'm speaking of the Dodgers, because the Angels, yes, it's Los Angeles, technically, Orange County, really, but it's just a world of difference from what happens with Dodgers. He's a different dude, man. He plays with this unburdened kind of attitude where he never grinds. He'll strike out with the winning run at third base to end a game. He'll get beat on a pitch. He'll walk back-to-back batters, and there's not that look of grinding on his face. In fact, it's just the opposite. I mean, it's almost like he's playing for zero stakes. It's really amazing. I mean, yes, he's competitive, and yes, he tries, but what he puts on, the smile on his face and his disposition, it would indicate that none of this counts, that it's like a backfield in a B game at Tempe Diablo Stadium at spring training. I can recall a game in May against the Rays in Anaheim. It's early in the game, and Austin Meadows is at the plate, and he hits a rocket back to Ohtani on the mound, and Ohtani literally sticks out his glove hand and plucks it out of midair. And as Meadows is kind of like, oh, man, really? Making his way back to the Rays dugout, Ohtani does that wide circle off the mound and apologizes to him. Who does that? Like, that's the kind of dude he is. He is wired completely differently. Even Ichiro, and you could compare him to other players that come from Japan. Matsui grinded. Ichiro was a grinder. We could go on and on with the list of Japanese-born players to come here, and they don't have that casual air about them like Ohtani does.
Matt, does he want to be the face of baseball? Does he want, like, the attention aside that we just mentioned, whether or not he wants it, he has become that. So is this something that he's going to be comfortable with?
I think it is, Chris. I think he does like that. He was the first player, after all, to throw his hat in the ring for the home run derby. And I think internally at the Angels, there was probably a little hand-wringing over that decision. You know, they're talking now about whether or not he will do both in Denver at the All-Star game, whether he'll pitch and hit. Look, he might start the game, and that's kind of a different proposition too, because there are times when he doesn't have his great command until maybe the third or fourth inning, second time through the order. So if you're looking at him to be like a one inning, you know, immaculate inning DeGrom Bieber type guy, sometimes he doesn't have the good command until he gets going a little bit. So that's kind of a work in progress. But if he does both, and he hits in the home run derby, and say he wins the home run derby, it's unavoidable. He's going to be the face of baseball if he isn't already. I mean, look, J.J. Watt is tweeting about him. Kevin Durant is tweeting about him. When other high-level athletes from the other major sports take notice for baseball, that's a big deal.
And who knew he was Pedro Serrano, you know, with the Zen and all that stuff going on. Who knew he had that cool heartbeat? But, you know, what some of the decisions tells me as a former athlete kind of looking at what he's doing, that when he came over and decided to go to Angels, it tells me that he was wanting to be about his business. He didn't want to have that media pressure. He wanted to be able to really hone his skills and hone his craft. Remember, he had some setbacks, right? You know, he didn't have great command, and he had the year coming off of Tommy John where he had to figure things out. You know, he came out really strong, and then he was getting touched up a little bit. So I feel like now it's time where the game is slowing down for him. Now he's ready to take that extra burden on being the face of baseball. But I want to say, with what he's doing now in this era, right, it's funny because he's on both sides of it, right? Mm-hmm. So he's the pitcher that's maybe benefiting from the –
tacky 2000 or the new baseball that's not getting knocked out. But on the other side, he's having no problems knocking the baseball out on his side as he's, what, second in the – is he leading the league in home runs?
No.
Right? So, you know, if he's able to put up 50, what does that say about his power, also his bat, and his future if he's able to be able to hit the baseball when we have basically a dead in baseball that's maybe going 20 feet less than it was going with the juice baseball last year?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, those are good points. You know, there are no whispers of impropriety around this guy's game at all. He's not a spider tack guy. He's not a guy doing nefarious things in the weight room. There's none of that around this guy. And I think the interesting part of his career is going to be projecting down the road. And there are a lot of people in the game, and I've visited with a number of not only ex-players, but player personnel people that feel like if he abandoned hitting, which would be ludicrous, but if he did, he could be the best pitcher in the game. He could be on a DeGrom-like level, and that's saying a lot. But the fact that he does both at such a high level, look, StatCast, which, you know, most people love, but some people push back on the over-quantification of baseball. But in this culture of bigger, faster, stronger, and with StatCast measuring everything that happens on a field, it was made for a guy like this. I mean, he hit a curveball at 117 miles an hour yesterday for a homer. That curveball was 80 miles an hour. It was the biggest difference in pitch speed and exit velocity ever thrown by a curveball in Major League Baseball since this data began tracking in 2015. So he's the perfect guy for all this. And I look, he's going to do it on both sides of the scorecard for as long as he can. He's got the perfect manager for it because Joe Maddon defers to him on all these decisions. If he needs a day, he gives him a day. If he wants to do both, he's going to do both. And he knows he's in New York tonight, man. It's hot out for sure. If he gets a day off in this series, it's probably going to come tomorrow. My instincts are that he does both tonight in front of a huge, huge international audience at Yankee Stadium.
Here's the crazy thing, Matt. What is his value, right? Because we know really what the criticism is going to come with two of the best players in baseball. The pressure to win a championship is going to be in the near future. But in talking about what his contract is going to look like, because he's a pitcher, so he deserves pitcher money, but he's a big-time hitter. So what is are we basically seeing him maybe become the first guy to get $50 million a year, right? Because you think about what his value is. He basically essentially is two players in one, and he's giving you productivity that two great players would give you. So it seems like you should take the combination of two great players' contracts and combine them together. And if that happens, do you know how many kids that's running around in the hood, that's running around on farms, that are saying, you know what, I'm about to do both because that's how you get paid. That's how you not get rich. That's how you get wealthy. Like, you can have a bad day. Like Dave Chappelle used to say, man, rich is something you can lose with a drug problem and a gambling problem. Like, you can't get rid of wealthy, and I think he's going to be the first one to get wealthy money.
That's a good point. I mean, look, if you take the highest paid hitter and the highest paid pitcher, as I think you're alluding to here, Bart, like, yeah, that's a fair number for Ohtani. The good thing for the Angels is they can kick that can down the road until 2024 because that's the earliest he can hit the free agent market. And as I said, he's making $3 million this year. His number goes to $8 million next year. I mean, compare that to what the Mets just backed up for Lindor, yeah, or what the Padres backed up for Tatis or any of the big ones out there, Betts, Trout, all of that stuff. He's the best player in the sport. Nobody can argue that because nobody can do what he does at that level. And if we're just being compensated for ability and performance, he should be the highest paid player in the sport. Unfortunately, as we know, the system doesn't work that way. And that's not going to happen for him for another few years. And that's why I think right now it's so pure to watch him. He's not doing this for the money. He's not doing this for anything other than succeeding and winning. And it's almost like watching a college basketball season in that sense, that it's completely pure and it's awesome.
Just my two cents. Might want to do it early because the longer you wait, the more it's going to cost you.
Matt, last one for me.
No doubt.
It's Matt Vasgersian, voice of Sunday Night Baseball and also of the LA Angels, joining Bart and Hanna here on ESPN Radio. Matt, with when you look at the Yankees now from the across the field and from the outside and what's going on, what strikes you as the biggest problem that they have, and is it fixable?
I think it's fixable. I'm just shocked at the last night, notwithstanding they score a season high 11 runs, but I'm shocked at the lack of productivity in that very talented, very highly compensated lineup. How Gleyber Torres can go from 38 homers in 2019 to 6 homers since then over 2 years is befuddling to me. Sanchez has performed a lot better the last month. He's had a very good month of June, so that's encouraging. Stanton is a huge impact star when he's on the field, but he's had a problem staying on the field. I don't know how they don't have more left-handed pop in that lineup, and I'm not the first to say that, but Yankee Stadium is built for left-handed power, and somehow they just don't have any. So I do think it's fixable. They rolled the dice on some veteran reclamation project pitching, and I don't know that they're going to get Corey Kluber to contribute this year. Tyone has been a little uneven. Yes, I think it's fixable. The problem is Boston is way better than anybody thought they'd be this year. The Rays are, in my mind, still the class of the American League East. So there's and Toronto is dynamic. I mean, it's not the Yankees' division to lose as it had been for so many years in the past. That's the biggest problem. I think they'll get it together. The problem's going to be everybody else is pretty good too.
Matt Vasgersian, voice of Sunday Night Baseball on ESPN, the Angels as well. Matt, awesome, awesome insight. We appreciate you joining us so much.
Loch Ness is all you,
good
man.
Talking
you got
to
a
you
bigger
guys.
Stage. Loch Ness is all yours, man. All yours.
Matt Vasgersian with us on the Goodyear Hotline, bringing us to Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. You learned a lot about Ohtani right there.
Yeah. Yeah,
and especially about the heartbeat, and that is not something you can ever teach. You have to be born with that, yeah. And not many are, to not feel any kind of pressure in these situations.
And maybe, just maybe, right, you talk about Ichiro, you talk about Matsui, right? These are guys that was from the old school. You know, we talk about the different athlete in America now. Well, maybe it's a different athlete in Japan as well. Maybe not so bothered when you talk about their access to the rest of the world and influence, just like the European and just like the American athletes are influenced. A lot of them got that Kuda Matata type of, we're all good type of thing. And maybe that's the perfect blend to be an athlete right now. He doesn't feel pressure, and he goes out there and he's confident in his preparation, and he doesn't sweat the easy stuff.
What's so funny about this is that he had the injury and the Tommy John, and this is not a guy who's a rookie, but he has become this phenomenon. And I think over the years about leading up to an All-Star game with guys who were a phenomenon, Fernando Valenzuela in the early 80s. We saw it with Hideo Nomo when he came over. And I went to the All-Star game in 95, and it was nuts for what they were calling Nomomania at the time. Mm-hmm. Yasiel Puig a few years ago, when he first got there were people saying, including myself, we should see this guy in the All-Star game because he's adding that excitement. Yet here's this player who's been here a few years, had the injury, and yes, he's doing it all right now, but the hitting is just at such another level and continuing to pitch at that level. Like, I can't wait to watch this tonight.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
I want to watch tonight, but I also, I wasn't, how you're talking and you're interviewing somebody and you act, whoa, hold up. But when he gets paid, he's, how do you negotiate that?
Yeah.
How do you negotiate?
Look, you're always thinking like the agent. You're always thinking like the contract.
How do you negotiate that? I'm arguably a top five pitcher in the game, and I'm arguably maybe the best hitter in the game. How do we come up to something like that?
Yeah.
They might be paying him the 25th. You talk about deferring money. They might have to pay him $50 million. All right, we'll give you $40 million a year, but we're gonna defer 10 for your 10-year contract. You'll be getting paid $10 million. What's that dude from the Mets that always get that?
Bobby Bonilla.
He gonna get the Bobby Bonilla.
July 1st every year.
But it's gonna be
tomorrow's Bobby Bonilla day.
But it's gonna be 10 minutes. Listen, how long before Cohen just pays that all? Like, man, you're not about to keep making a farce about it.
I would try to wrap that deal up.
Man, just go. But you know how crazy he can have Bobby Bonilla day, but it's going to be $10 million annually for 20, 30 years, his retirement package.
I don't know how you quantify all of that, but I think 50 might be light by that point.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You might want to do it early. And plus the value that he brings to the organization, because now they're going to get more TV contracts. Could you imagine, because he's so great, and you still have Mike Trout. Like, you got Mike Trout there, and you're like, excuse me, Mike, can you tap Shohei for me? Like, Mike, like, well, I'm Mike Trout, right? Could you imagine what the regional TV deal is going to be if this becomes the greatest show? Like, where he, like, who bats first? Is Shohei before Trout, or is Trout before him? Like, mm-hmm. Who's the cleanup?
It's not a bad problem to have. Try to figure that out.
Crazy.
It is absolutely nuts when Trout comes back, what that's like. But Ohtani's had some success, but never at this level. And it's been.
Their record still doesn't reflect the great.
That's the other amazing thing, is that they're still under 500, and you have those two players on that team.
Need some help.
Unreal. Well, up next, your old friend is throwing some serious shade at an AFC quarterback, Mike Tannenbaum.
Ah.
We're going to hear that in just moments. It is Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Chris Carlin in for Allen, along with Bart Scott. And Bart is going to tell you all about our friends at the Home Depot.
You know, Home Depot always got love around these holidays now. Come on, get more out of summer with more from Home Depot on the 4th of July savings throughout the store and online. Whether you're ready to paint a wall, upgrade an appliance, fire up the grill, or get a new spread color for you throughout your garden, the Home Depot can help you match low prices with high expectations for your next project. Whatever plans you have for your home, you can make it a reality this summer. And remember to go to Home Depot. How doers get more done. Back after this, your calls and audio files.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Hahn.
Okay. Is this the remix, or is this Welcome to Atlanta then with Puffy? Welcome to New York?
I love how it's so cute that you think I know whether or not it's the remix.
Man, come on. You be raising the roof to this. I think it's a remix. Remix!
Is this Jermaine Dupri? Is that who this
Welcome
is?
Welcome to Atlanta.
Yeah.
Where we don't play it and out of times get jacked like every day. Woof, woof.
That's my favorite Bart Scott noise right there. I can't even do it justice. That is my favorite Bart Scott noise by far. It is Bart Scott, Chris Carlin on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things easier than ever. They're going to help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Let's get right to it. Don't waste any time. It's time for some audio files. Let's start with Chauncey Billups, who was introduced yesterday as head coach of the Portland Trail Blazers, and there's been controversy around the 1997 incident where he was accused of rape when he was 19 years old, and there were never any charges formally filed, but there was a settlement in that case. So he addressed that at length yesterday.
There's not a day that goes by that I don't think about how every decision that we make could have a profound impact on a person's life. I learned at a very young age as a player, and not only a player, but a young man, a young adult, that every decision has consequences. you know, and that's led to some really, really healthy but tough conversations that I've had to have with my wife, who was my girlfriend at the time in 1997, and my daughters about what actually happened and about what they may have to read about me in the news and in the media. But this experience has shaped my life in so many different ways. My decision making, obviously, who I allow to be in my life, the friendships and the relationships that I have, and how I go about them, you know, it's impacted every decision that I make. You know, it really has, and it's shaped me in some unbelievable ways. So, you know, I know how important it is, you know, really to have the right support system around you, in particular during tough, difficult times.
I mean, listen, this happened in 1997, 24 years ago. He said the sex was consensual, but it's a steady reminder that things don't go away, right? We see this happen, and this is why I try and stress to young children all the time. Like the stuff that you put on Twitter and Instagram, thinking that you're being cute, not understanding that you're immature and you lack the experience to understand the gravity of what you're saying, it can come back. It doesn't go away. And he went through an entire borderline Hall of Fame career, two-time champion, great analyst here at ESPN, and none of those things were brought up until he decided to try and be great and become a head coach and become basically the CEO of an organization, the face of an organization. So this is a lesson to all the children out there that think that, hey, you can do anything and that we think we're bulletproof when we're children. Like those things come back, and he has had to have some tough conversations with his children that wasn't even born at the time about what they may or may not read and have to relive the situation all over again. And it's just it's a lesson to everybody out there. All the people out here that's trolling people, that's saying stuff. You look at what happened to John Legend's wife with the cyberbullying. And, like, listen, receipts are always kept. Yep. So make sure that you live your life and make sure that you don't say things or do things that can come back to haunt you and hurt your brand. Because, listen, you can be clean and do things right for 20, 30 years, and that one stand can stop your opportunity or stop your blessings.
One problem, though, with it after the fact is that, you know, there are going to be questions. That was in the opening statement part of it, too.
Of course.
And the Blazers didn't exactly let that go. Take a listen.
I guess I'm still curious for a little bit more clarity about the investigation that you guys conducted. Who did you hire to do it? What, you know, who did they talk to? What specifically did they tell you that led you to the conclusion that you got to?
So right. That's
proprietary, Sean. So you're just going to have to take our word that we hired an experienced firm that ran an investigation that gave us the results we've already discussed.
You said the 1997 incident shaped you in unbelievable ways. Can you maybe elaborate on that and how it helped shape you?
Jason, we appreciate your question. We've addressed this. It's been asked and answered, so happy to move on to the next question here.
We both understand. I'm sure Chauncey understands it's a job to be done. But he did kind of answer that in his opening statement. It molded about who he keeps around him, his circles, and understanding that.
I understand. The problem, though, is when that person steps in and starts. Mm-hmm. The first part of it, okay. When the PR person steps in front of you, that's making it bigger.
Right.
In theory, you're trying to get past this.
You just got
to
do it once. And Chauncey understands.
Answer a couple of questions on the one day, and it's a one-day story, and you move past it. That PR person had no idea what she was doing.
Now it's going to continue to live on. Because it's still, Chauncey's a professional. And if anybody's talked to Chauncey, listen, he understands he's not a guy that struggles with articulating himself. Mm-hmm. As you can hear in his opening statement, you can tell that was very thought out, very heartfelt. And you can tell, speaking about all the different degrees of the conversation that you have to have, whether it's his wife, his kids, and also understanding how it molded him and happened to make sure that you be careful with the circle you have around you. Because, I've been in situations where your friends bring you to some bull crap that you had no idea you were getting into, and then it's too late. And at 19, maybe you're about that exciting, stupid life where you're doing things that may come back to haunt you because you're thinking about today and not tomorrow.
Then there's Jerry Colangelo, of course, who's head of USA Basketball, and he gives us some information that I think we all kind of widely assumed anyway, but he pretty much confirmed it.
I would think so. you know, Father Time takes its toll. And you guys know that because if you're a human being, your body is built to go so long, depending on what your sport is. And then it's a downhill situation. And LeBron made choices these last couple of Olympics not to participate because he's got a lot of things going on in his life. And so he put in his time. He made a contribution that is appreciated. But I think his time is over.
Yeah. So when it comes to the Olympics, I don't think anybody was ever expecting to see him again. But you never know. And that was pretty much put to rest at this point.
Well, is he Michael Phelps? He's supposed to do 5-10 Olympics. Like, come on, man. Like, he's done his time. Like, yeah. You know, and it's time for let some of these young bucks. It's time to introduce Zion to the world. It's time to introduce, you know, the other guys that haven't played. Now, you always have a couple carryovers, guys like Kevin Durant that you can ensure that can teach these guys what being an Olympian and playing and representing your country is all about. But it's time to sprinkle in a little new blood, and LeBron's the first one out. I'm sure KD will be the second one out. As, you know, we all are used to this, right? So, like, in sports, what people don't realize is the younger you are, the farther your seat is in the plane. And the older you get, when you look up and you look in front of you and you may be like one or two.
And you see the wall?
Yeah, yeah. You on deck, Claude. Yeah. You next for what we call the athletic upper room. It's time for you to say goodbye. It's been great. God bless y'all. Good night. Russell.
I don't think Mike Tannenbaum's going to Cleveland anytime soon because
he's going with Rex.
ESPN. ESPN's NBA, ESPN's NFL front office insider was not mincing any words when it came to Baker Mayfield and his place in Cleveland.
Ryan Tannehill is definitely above Baker Mayfield as well. And as Diana alluded to, when you look at Kevin Stefanski's track record, they won in Minnesota with Case Keenum. They won with Kirk Cousins. Baker Mayfield is very much a replaceable part. He's had one productive season out of three. That is not greatness at the quarterback position. So at best, he is the fifth best quarterback in the AFC. The other point that bears noting is injuries can be hugely consequential for the Cleveland Browns. Odell Beckham, Jadeveon Clowney, they have to play in 17 games for this team to be productive. And in the second round, Cleveland drafted Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah from Notre Dame. If he could stay healthy, he could be an impact player. But those three players need to play 17 games to give Cleveland a chance to go deep in the playoffs.
But Baker being thoroughly replaceable.
Now, he ain't saying no lies. Like, I've been saying this. Listen.
I know, but he's popular out there these days.
Yeah, you can be popular all you want. You can't lie to yourself now. You can put lipstick on a pig, but it's still a pig at the end of the day. And I'm not saying that he's a bum, but he's not a great player. Like, I mean, I would put Joe Burrow. What I saw from Joe Burrow was more special than anything I've ever saw from Baker Mayfield. You got to understand, like, Baker has two of everything. And if it wasn't for that strong running game, like as he gets paid, and if you pay him $40 million a year and you start taking those pieces around him, I don't know if he can make up the difference. We saw Russell Wilson make up the difference when he lost the Legion of Boom, right? He lost that support. We saw Ben Roethlisberger on his first Super Bowl when he pretty much was just a passenger holding the steering wheel as Willie Parker and the bus and that defense took him to a championship. But you saw when they got stripped, he was still good. I don't know if you strip all the support away from Baker Mayfield if he's that same player. I would say that he is not even the fifth. I think Tannenbaum was being kind to him, saying he's the fifth in the AFC. I think Carson Wentz has shown that he's a much more. Carson Wentz, before he got hurt, was an MVP candidate.
And that was 4 years ago.
Okay, 4 years ago and a good offensive solid line ago. He's going to listen, mark my words. I know bum quarterbacks, and I'm telling you, Carson Wentz is a good quarterback, and he's going to remind everybody with confidence that he's going to change the scenery. With a familiar face in Frank Wright, with a tremendous team in front of
him. Let's call it what it is, his babysitter.
He's going to show everybody what he was. And then we're going to look up and we're going to say Baker may be more like the 10th best quarterback in the AFC.
I'll tell you this. Baker Mayfield's going to have a massive season this year. I thoroughly believe that.
Yeah, but how much of it is he going to be responsible for?
I think he's going to be responsible for a good amount of it. I think this is the year where Baker Mayfield really shows what he's capable of doing.
Okay. We have Mark Sanchez, right? Mark Sanchez had the best
running game in the league, right? And he had arguably the best offensive line. And he didn't have great receivers. He had okay receivers and a good pass-catching tight end. And look what Mark Sanchez was able to accomplish with that. Baker Mayfield has better than what Mark Sanchez had. He has better personnel on defense. He has better personnel on offense. So don't be surprised when you say he's not as good as Mark Sanchez and you figure that out after you gave him $40 million.
ESPN Radio brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. Up next, the NBA playoffs, they have been thoroughly marred by injury. So does that cheapen the accomplishment of whoever ends up winning the title? Chris Carlin, Bart Scott, Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Bart and Hahn.
Oh, man. We should just make show cuts of our like our songs like at the week, right? Because how many breaks we have? We have like three or four, right? So like we put three or four. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, at the end of the week, we got 20 hot songs. We got a hot fire playlist. You know what I'm saying? And then guess what everybody that's listening to us, what guess what they're going to say? Baby, if you give it to me, I give it to you. That's all I want. Baby, if you give it to me. And we're going to give it to you. We're going to start cutting these up and selling these. Hot fire on the corner.
We've known each other for, what, 4 years now, roughly?
Feels like a
You know how much I love you. God, you can't sing.
Of course I can. But that was like rapping. That's the thing. That was the rap thing.
Well, you can't rap
that
either.
That was Busta Rhyme, baby, if you give it to. I'm just singing how the song is sung.
The NBA Western Conference Finals are on ESPN Radio. Tune in tonight. It's Game 6, the Clippers hosting the Suns. Presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 8:30 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN radio stations. And look, that's we're looking at this in Game 6 tonight. You look between these. We're not going to see Kawhi. The Suns, I don't think, have played particularly well when you look at what happened the other day, and they haven't really been their best in this series.
They're due.
But don't let this get to a Game 7 tonight. This is if you have a Game 7, even if it's you're in your own building, there's going to be too much of the Chris Paul can't get it done
go either way.
Talk, and that's going to infect that whole team, and that's not good.
I mean, it's time for Devin Booker to prove that he is a superstar, and he's been a superstar. But, man, I tell you, Patrick Beverley and the defense that they've put on him
has really done a great job.
So that's what makes you think that he's due for a big game. Mm-hmm. But Lou has made all the right adjustments. So if those guys are having big games, how do you stop Ayton? How do you stop the others? Because you can win either way. You can win with Devin Booker having a big game, or you can lose with him not with others having a big game. But you have to make sure that the other guys show up, man. We need Reggie Jackson to be Reggie Jackson.
So if you have no Kawhi and you have no Giannis, and you have no Trae Young, it is going to take something away from me from whoever wins the championship, because it's really the first time that something big on that level has happened in a long, long time without having your big superstar.
But the stars got you to the championship, right? It's like the Giants winning championship with Jeff Hostetler and Phil Simms was there. Phil Simms got him there. Yeah. He just got him over the finish line.
Finish line was 6-7 games.
I mean, Trent Dilfer got the Ravens there.
Yep. He did.
But he didn't get him there, but he got him over the hump,
He didn't screw up. That's what he did.
Exactly. So you want the others to have to – listen, when you're going against others or going against others, they pulled for entertaining flight. See you later. Damn.
The Suns, just get it done tonight. Get it done. Get it over with. It'll be here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Han, the podcast.